Shkalim Perik Ches Mishnah Ches 8:8, and the last of the Masechta, I'm sorry to say. The good news is this Mishnah is like two Mishnayos, so we're not done quite yet. The first part of the Mishnah has a topic unrelated to the second part, and in fact it's unrelated to pretty much everything you've talked about up to now either, so it's a great mystery what it's even doing here. It sure seems it should belong in the end of the fourth Perik of Maseches Tamid. But the topic of this first half of the Mishnah is the location where one is to put the limbs from various burnt offerings, olos, prior to being put on the pyre on the altar itself. So there will be different zones on the ramp where these sacrificial parts will be placed prior to being brought up onto the fire. Now, what is this doing here in our Masechta? So a possible suggestion is that there is the possibility of being confused. Let's say you have brought up a tamid, and the tamid limbs are on the Mizbeach's ramp. And although the normal thing to do is to put those limbs on the fire prior to doing the musafin, if a person for whatever reason was delayed in bringing up those limbs of the tamid shel shachar, and now also has limbs that belong to the musafin, so you might have thought, how do we deal with the question of how do you know if the limbs are tamid limbs or they're musaf limbs, the difference being, of course, that the tamidin should be offered first. So the Mishnah is answering, well, there's very specific locations on the Mizbeach where the tzitzit put so that there's no confusion, nothing, like no question mark should arise. So our Mishnah says inside, Avrei HaTamid, the limbs of the tamid offering. Again, the din is that one has to butcher the tamid, that sheep, into very specific portions. And Nitanin Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'marav. The place to put these limbs are on the bottom half of the ramp, on the western side of the ramp. That would be, since the ramp runs from south to north, we're talking about the bottom half on the left-hand side, if you're facing towards the top of the Mizbeach. And it should sit there. What happens is, after they do the offering of the blood, they have to still be mafshit to flay the animal and then to butcher it. And before putting the limbs onto the fire, the Kohanim need to go into Lishkas HaGazis over there, the Chamber of Hewn Stone, and recite Kriya Shema, like they have chakras to daven still. And aside from Kriya Shema, there's also the requirement to arrange the menorah and the ketores, the incense to be brought. So there's a delay between the slaughtering and offering of the blood and the burning of the limb. So the limbs wait on the bottom of the ramp, on the left-hand side, on the western side, for a while. Vishil Musafin, the limbs from burnt offerings that are Musaf, that are brought, say, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, as opposed to the Tamid. Nitanin Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata, on the bottom half of the ramp. Vemizrach, on the eastern side. Again, to make sure they don't get confused. Vishil Roshei Chadashim. Now, if you're talking about the offerings that are going to be burned from Rosh Chodesh, so those are put higher up on the ramp, at the top third, let's call it, so that not only are they distinct from the other possible offerings, but more importantly, they're up top there, because that way people can see that today is Rosh Chodesh. That's a sign to them, because of course Rosh Chodesh could have been today, could have been tomorrow, and this lets everyone know that we're talking about Rosh Chodesh now. So where exactly was it put? So the Mishnah says, V'shal Rosh Chodeshim nitanin al karkov ha-mizrach milamala. From the karkov of the Mizrach, of the Mizbeach, I should say. I read that terribly. I'm sorry. Nitan al karkov ha-mizbeach milamala. It's put on the karkov area of the Mizbeach and up. What is the karkov? There are actually a number of shitas. I'm going to say how I understand the Bar Tanura, just one shita, which is this. It's the top third. And the reason why it's referred to as the third is because the ramp, vertically, the top of the ramp is 9 amos off the ground. That's because you have the altar itself is poured concrete in 3 large slabs. The first slab is 1 amma high. It's called the Yesod. Then on top of the Yesod, recessed in like 1 amma on all sides, is 5 amma high, the top of which is called the Sovev, which goes around the entire Mizbeach. Then you have 3 more tefachim that are also recessed in 1 tefach on all sides, the top of which is the top of the Mizbeach. So that adds up to 9. 1 plus 5 plus 3 is 9. So the ramp goes from the ground up to 9 amos high. So halfway up the ramp would be 4.5 amos. two-thirds of the way up the ramp would be six amos. And the sovev, which is the platform around which the Kohanim would walk if they went around the Mizbeach, was at six amos off the ground. You sowed one plus five more, gives you six of the sovev. So we're saying it's the karkov is from the sovev's height and upward. So it's from six to nine, or the top third. And the idea being that we are putting it high up and prominent so people can clearly see this is separate from other musafin. This is the Rosh Chodesh musaf to tell you that today is Rosh Chodesh. And the Bar Tanur adds it's put on the eastern side of the karkov. So there you go, and upwards. So it's on the top third of the ramp on the eastern side. Fine. That's for Rosh Chodesh parts. Okay, so that's the first part of the Mishnah, and it sort of stands alone. And now we go to the second part of the Mishnah, which really is sort of the end of our Masechta, I'm sorry to say, and we revisit Shkalim for just a moment. The Mishnah says, Hashkalim, the mitzvah of giving the Machse Shekel, Vabikurim, and the mitzvah of bringing one's first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash to be waved before the Mizbeach and given to the Kohanim. These first fruits we're talking about for Bikurim are specifically the seven species by which Eretz Yisrael is praised. So that means wheat and barley, as well as olives, grapes, dates, figs, and pomegranates. Those are the seven. I said them in the order of priority for brachas and so on. So those seven are brought as bikurim. And both the shkalim and the bikurim, ein nohagin ele b'fnei habayis, the mitzvah of machse shekel and the mitzvah of bikurim only apply when there is a Beis HaMikdash extant and standing. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, these mitzvahs do not apply. The reason why there's no mitzvah of Shkalim when there's no Beis HaMikdash is sort of self-evident. The point of the Shkalim is to fund the activities of the communal activities, the communal korbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no korbanos tzibur, so that can be understand why you don't bring Shkalim. As for Bikurim, it's really based on a pasuk. The pasuk in Shmos, Perk Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yotes, says, Reishis Bikuri Admascha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha. The first ripening fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of Hashem, your God. And that's referring to, of course, the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. And that being the case, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Beis Hashem, there's no place to bring the Bikurim, so there's no mitzvah to do it. The Mishnah continues and says, Aval, however, Maaser Dagan, the tithing of grain, Umaaser Behema, the tithing of animals, Vahabuchoros, the mitzvah of the firstborn animals, those are Nohagin, Bein Bifnei Abayis, Bein Shelo Bifnei Abayis. Those are applicable Midoraisa, whether or not there is a Beis HaMikdash standing. So let's do these three mitzvahs one at a time. The first is Maaser Dagan, the tithing of grain. What this is really referring to is what we refer to as Trumas and Maaseris, and all the tithes there, Truma Gadola, Maaser Rishon, and so on. And those tithes apply to all grain in Eretz Yisrael, as well as, according to most Rishonim, Doraisa, it also applies to olives and olive oil, as well as grapes and wine. So that's the scope. There are other shitas that expand it further. Midoraisa, famous to the Rambam, includes all produce, basically, except for vegetables. Okay, so we're saying that it applies Midoraisa, even without a Beis HaMikdash. Now, there is a machlokas Rishonim if the Kedusha with which Eretz Yisrael was invested at the time of the Second Commonwealth or the beginning of Bayis Sheni was a Kedusha that's supposed to last in perpetuity, Lasad Lavo, Lolam, or if it's just meant to be there temporarily, Shata. So, and when the Jews were exiled away, that Kedusha of the land lapsed. That's a machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam holds that the Kedusha from Bayis Sheni was there invested in perpetuity. So the Kedusha persists, and the land, even today, is obligated in the mitzvahs at Tluyas Ba'aretz, such as the Trumas and Maaseris, and therefore we're talking about Doraisa territory here, taking the Mishnah on face value, and that's that. However, the Rambam himself understands, and this is conventional halacha, that notwithstanding the fact that there's the potential for Doraisa, in practice, it's only a Durabanan. Trumas and Maaseris today is only Durabanan. And the reason why is because from a second drasha, which talks about the Jews coming to the land, meaning that when the majority of Jews, at least, Rubo Kukulo, all the Jews, or at least most of them, are in the land and dwelling there, that's when the mitzvah of Trumas and Maaseris applies. But if the majority of the Jews are still outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then the mitzvah doesn't apply, and you're only in Durabanan territory. L'alach l'maisa. Second of all, you have Maiser Behema. Maiser Behema is the tithing of one's livestock. That means one's cows, goats, and sheep that are born in a given, I'll call it fiscal year, for lack of a better term right now. They go into a corral, you put them all in there, and then you take out all the cows one at a time. Every 10th cow out of the corral gets marked with red paint and is consecrated, being identified as Maiser Behema, the tithe of the animals. Which means prior to going to the corral and prior to being taken out of the corral, all your animals are not yet vested with any kedusha. It's only once you do this tithing process. So it's in our hands. And the rabbi said, although it's true you could do this process and you could end up having Maiser Behema on a deraisa level, the rabbi said, do not do it. There's a din, the rabbanan, not to do it, because the rabbis were concerned people will have livestock running around on their farms that are invested with kedusha, and all sorts of bad things could happen in terms of mixing up and eating them when they're still should be brought as korbanos, etc. And we can't bring them as korbanos because there's no Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, the rabbi said, don't do it in the first place. And that's the din halacha l'maisa. We're not going to be doing Maiser Behema. We're not even going to be tithing them and counting them every 10th one at all. Finally, bechoros. Now, bechoros are firstborn male that come from a cow, goat, or sheep. The first time that heifer gives birth to a cow, if the baby is a male, then that's a bechor. Now, there's no way to stop the kedusha from happening, because the kedusha happens upon birth. So unlike the Maiser Behema, where the rabbis could say, just don't count the animals and do the 10th business and you won't have kadosh animals, here it's just a basic din. A Jew's cow or goat or sheep, if it has its first offspring as a male, that male is invested with the sanctity and has to be brought as a korban and eaten over there in Yerushalayim. So the same problem, however, exists, that the rabbis were concerned people could have bechoros, cows that should be brought as korbanos, but they can't be brought because there's no Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, the din is that one is to share ownership of his heifer with a non-Jew. And once the non-Jew has any portion of the cow, so then the cow's offspring are exempt from bechoros, and that's what one should do. So therefore, we circumvent the possibility of having bechoros, which can't be brought as korbanos because of no Beis Hamikdash, by sharing ownership of our cows with Gentiles. Fine. Now, those, says the Mishnah, are nohagin bein b'fnei abayis bein shalo b'fnei abayis. You don't need a Beis Hamikdash to have these mitzvahs to apply, but you're supposed to, as I said before, in the case of the animals, at least to circumvent them. And as far as the Maiser goes, and Trumas the Maiser of Dagon, that's probably just a rabbanan now anyways. I skipped some words. Hamakdish shkalim ubikurim. If a person, however, although there is no mitzvah to do shkalim or machse shekel, and no mitzvah to do bikurim, because no Beis Hamikdash to bring them to, if a person consecrates his coin or his produce and says, this is a shekel, or he says, these are my bikurim, so then hareza kodesh, that declaration does vest, and the coin does become a machse shekel with the attendant kedusha, even though it can't be used. Same goes with the bikurim. And that means, what do you do with this coin now? So you can't do anything with the coin, because the coin now is hekdesh, but since you can't do anything with it, what you have to do is just destroy it, throw it into the Dead Sea or something equivalent, so that you don't get benefit from your coin. That'll be the din. So Tanakama holds that works for coins and for bikurim, but Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ha'omer bikurim kodesh, einan kodesh. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, no. He agrees when it comes to the machse shekel. If you want to declare a kodesh, then you could and it will work. That's true, but just don't do it. But when it comes to bikurim, Rabbi Shimon says, no, it doesn't work. Again, the reason why is because the pasuk says, it's reishis bikuri ad matzchat tavi beis shem lokecha. It's contingent upon being able to bring it to Beis HaMikdash. No Beis HaMikdash means no possibility of bikurim. And that being the case, they're simply not going to be kodesh, whether you declare them kodesh or otherwise. Halach l'maisa will be like Rabbi Shimon, which means that there's no bring of bikurim or declaring as kodesh no matter what. As far as the machse shekel goes, b'zman hazeh, as I mentioned earlier in the Masechta, we certainly do not set aside machse shekel. However, the Ramah brings that the minhag is, at least by Bnei Ashkenaz, to set aside machse shekel. In fact, the custom is even to bring set aside three half shekels on Erev Purim and set that aside and give it to tzedakah. And one of those coins, at least, is a zecher to the machzah shekel. If you recall from learning the Masechta, I said that that parsha there talks about the word. We use the word truma three times because there were three different givings back in the base of Mikdash, based in the Mishkan and the Midbar time in the desert, and therefore we give three half shekels of the prevailing currency in our particular locale as a zecher to that, and that is certainly for Ashkenazim the minig, and therefore halach lamaisa. And with that, we finish Maseches Shkalim, Salak Maseches Shkalim, and Yesher Koach to everyone who learned the Masechta. Kol HaKavod.